Next item on the agenda is C. Price, 10-0035. Smucker, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Bryce is requesting authorization to install two 65-foot long precast concrete breakwaters and a 40-foot long precast concrete groin, and to dredge and excavate approximately 400 cubic yards of sand from the south side of the spit and utilize that material to create a 2-foot high by 240-foot long dune adjacent to his property situated along Meacham Creek and the Rappahannock River in Middlesex County. This project requires both a subaqueous permit and a coastal primary sand dunes and beaches permit. Project site is depicted here. It's along a spit of land separating the Rappahannock River and Meacham Creek in the Topping area of Middlesex County. This shoreline faces to the north with long northerly fetches. Rappahannock River up here. This is Meacham Creek. This is the long peninsula and chain of islands. Many of these islands have eroded. It's actually back to about right here now. I'll show that a little bit better and some more. This is a NOAA chart showing the peninsula and the project location. All of these islands out here have eroded. The Bryce family owns four large parcels in the immediate vicinity. This project involves a 260-foot long low beach washover area connecting a parcel owned by a neighbor, Ms. Duzak, and the peninsula, again with the Rappahannock River on the north and Meacham Creek on the south. This is the Duzak property. There's a groin being replaced on her property that's being considered under a separate application. In yellow are the Bryce properties. This is the Long Peninsula. This is a 2009 aerial photograph. This is the project site right here, this beach washover area. These are all still connected, barely in places, but these islands are actually fairly high land. And again, these islands that used to be out here have since eroded. It's a closer view of that 2009 aerial. You can see from the groin field upstream to the west in this case, the predominant drift is downstream towards the east. Again, this is even a closer view of that same aerial. Mr. Bryce is proposing to construct two 65-foot long precast concrete breakwaters located approximately 90 feet channelward of the existing mean high water line. A 40-foot long precast groin would be also proposed right around this location. He's also proposing to dredge some of this material, which is washed over on the backside, dredge and excavate. A good portion of it is actually above low water, and utilize that to create a dune 2 feet high, 240 feet long. As I mentioned, under a separate application, Ms. Duzak is proposing to replace this groin. As you'll see in some of my more recent pictures, this groin is now detached and has failed. It's no longer connecting to the upland. No structures or improvements are threatened by erosion at this site. In fact, there are no structures located downstream of the Duzak property. This project is being proposed in an attempt to prevent the low beach from being breached and causing the peninsula to become separated from the mainland. Mr. Bryce does not want to lose access to the peninsula, and it's approximately 1,600 linear feet of shoreline downstream of the project site. He also fears that erosion of the peninsula will increase, and a second mouth to Meacham Creek will adversely affect the existing shoaling problems at the mouth of the creek. The peninsula and associated chain of islands used to extend approximately 3,000 feet downstream across the current wide mouth of Meacham Creek. As this land has eroded, the property within the creek has been subjected to increased wave exposure and erosion. Additionally, the sediment that has resulted from the erosion has increased shoaling at the creek mouth. just threw this in as a little bit of history for it. This is a 1917 topographic map of the peninsula and islands, and the current end of the islands is about this location here. This is a plan view drawing. Again, a 40-foot long groin is proposed at this location. These are the 65-foot long precast concrete breakwaters, and they're proposing to dredge this area here, utilize that material to create the dune. This is the groin that's proposed on the Duzak property under a separate application. This is a plan view drawing that shows the, in dark black there, the created dune. This sand out here is what the agent anticipates the beach would end up looking like after sand naturally accretes behind it. There's no beach nourishment proposed at this point right behind the breakwaters. Cross-sectional drawing, breakwaters located out here, the dune, the excavation area. This is the detailed drawings of the precast concrete breakwater units. I think you've seen some of these over the past couple of meetings. They are hooked together, and they utilize concrete pins to help secure them to the substrate. This is a cross-sectional drawing of the proposed groin. It will extend 40 feet channel to mean high water. And these are the detailed drawings of the groin. This is a ground shot of the project site. This is that the neighbor, Ms. Duzak's groin. You can see how it's been damaged in here. In fact, there's very little beach on that portion up there. This PVC, if you can barely make it out, that would be the upstream end of the upstream groin. That's where it's proposed to be located. The construction of the groin and beach excavation will impact approximately 1,900 square feet of jurisdictional beach. Middlesex County has not yet adopted the Coastal Primary Sand Dunes and Beaches Ordinance, which was made available to them by virtue of recent code changes, which became effective in July 1 of 2008. As a result, the Commission is charged with acting as the local Dunes and Beaches Board pursuant to Chapter 14, Subtitle 3 of 28.2. The following three cases are the same situation. This is a ground shot looking downstream across this beach area. In their revised report dated June 15th, VIM, Center for Coastal Resource Management, notes that no beach nourishment is proposed and there are no structures or improvements on the narrow sand feature. They state that the site is immediately downstream of a successfully functioning groin field. They recommend that if the structure is considered justified to protect the narrow sand feature, that the construction of the additional groin with beach nourishment is environmentally acceptable. They also recommend that the breakwater system should incorporate significant beach nourishment in the project design. They explain that while the beach, they explain that the beach should provide the actual erosion protection while the breakwaters serve to hold the beach in place. The placement of beach nourishment would also serve to minimize downdrift shoreline impacts resulting from the interruption of sand transport downstream. In the absence of the beach nourishment, VIMS believes locating the structures closer to shore may provide greater shoreline protection while waiting for natural beach fill. They suggest the breakwaters could be moved further channelward if the sand tombolas form landward of the breakwaters as is hoped. They anticipate only temporary disruption associated with the excavation of the beach for the creation of the small dune. Finally, they recommend the planting of the dune and all nourished areas with appropriate vegetation to help stabilize those features. It's a ground shot looking across the beach into Meacham Creek. As I've mentioned, as these islands in this peninsula have eroded, these properties back in here have been subjected to increased erosion. The Shoreline Erosion Advisory Service provided comments in a letter dated March 15th of this year. They also noted the lack of beach nourishment and stated the breakwaters are positioned further offshore than typically recommended for gapped breakwaters. With respect to the groin, they questioned the stability of the structure in this exposed location, and it suggested a conventional sheet pile or riprap groin might provide a better long-term solution at this site. And in their report dated March 19th of this year, the Department of Conservation and Recreation stated they did not anticipate the project will adversely affect any of their programs, although they did note the applicability of the Chesapeake Bay Act requirements. This is a recent aerial, actually taken just yesterday. The Rappahannock River is in the foreground here, Meacham Creek in the background. This is the project site. The Duzak groin, Mr. Bryce's groin is proposed on this at this location, and the breakwaters would be out here. This is a portion of the sand feature which would be excavated and used to create the small dune. We met with Mr. Scott Hardaway of the VIM Shoreline Studies Program, Mr. Mike Van Landingham of SEAS, the agent, Mr. Warren Deasy, and Mr. Michael Bryce, co-owner of the project or the property. At this site back on April 26th, we discussed the purpose of the project and alternative designs, as well as the possibility of incorporating beach nourishment into the project design. Mr. Deasy and Mr. Bryce explained that the precast breakwater units would be cost effective in this situation due to the limited access at the site. The breakwater units can be floated into the site, into position, and sunk. They believe it would be difficult and cost prohibitive to access the site with the material and equipment needed to construct a typical stone breakwater system. The lack of access is also the reason beach nourishment has not been proposed. During this meeting, we also discussed the possibility or possible merits of harvesting a portion of the sand from the Meacham Creek side of this beach to create the small dune. Mr. Hardaway and Mr. Van Landingham expressed their concern over the lack of beach nourishment and the positioning of the breakwaters further offshore than is typically recommended. We discussed the possibility of placing sand as a feeder beach upstream of the project at the proposed access point on a parcel that's also owned by the Bryce family. Mr. Hardaway explained that the beach nourishment design parameters stated in his publication entitled Shoreline Management in the Chesapeake Bay are for headland breakwater systems with an adequate amount of beach nourishment to establish an equilibrium that's landward of the breakwaters. It's another ground shot across the beach. Meacham Creek is in the background. Following our on-site meeting, Mr. Deasy did submit revised drawings that included the sand excavation and dune creation that we had discussed during our site visit. Although no additional beach nourishment was included and the breakwaters were left in their originally proposed location. No other state agencies have commented on the proposed modification, and no comments were received from the public neighbor or from the public notice, and neither adjoining property owner has objected to the project. This is again that 2009 aerial photograph. Got it pulled out a little bit further so you could see the amount of sand that's moving along this shoreline. It's interesting to note that these are three breakwaters located right here that were constructed approximately 55 to 60 feet channelward of mean high water, and they graded the bank down and nourished that location. That project has been successful, and believe it or not, the sand is actually bypassing on the land on the channelward side of those breakwaters. Staff appreciates the applicant's efforts to protect this narrow spit of land, and we believe that a breach of the low beach area could result in increased erosion along the remainder of the peninsula and increased shoaling within Meacham Creek. Continued loss of the peninsula would also expose more properties within Meacham Creek to increased wave attack and erosion. We also understand the applicant's desire to protect this area in a cost-effective manner, and we realize that access to the site is difficult. The long-term survivability of these precast breakwater units is yet to be determined. This area is exposed to significant storm waves. Mr. Hardaway, in the aforementioned publication, recommends armor stone weighing between 800 and 2,000 pounds for breakwater construction in similarly exposed locations. With respect to the breakwaters, in addition to their relatively low cost, one of their benefits that's often expressed by Mr. Veazey is the ability to float these breakwaters into position in areas with limited accessibility. They also state that they can be refloated and repositioned if necessary. As evidenced by the wide beach and full groin cells updrift west of the project site, there appears to be a significant amount of sand moving along this shoreline. We are uncertain, however, if the proposed breakwaters positioned 90 feet channelward of mean high water will accumulate any appreciable amount of sand in a timely manner. Without the sandy beach landward of the breakwaters, it's unlikely the breakwaters will provide any significant protection to the existing beach area. Although access to the site is difficult, based on the recommendations of the reviewing agencies and conversations with Mr. Hardaway, staff recommends the placement of at least 360 cubic yards of sand of sandy beach nourishment material between the created dune and the beach area landward of the breakwaters. If the placement of the beach nourishment is cost prohibitive, and a condition to require such would kill the project, staff would recommend relocating the breakwaters closer to shore. It's believed that positioning the breakwaters closer to shore would increase the likelihood of capturing sand and developing a tombolo between the existing beach and the breakwater structures. Positioning the breakwaters closer to shore would also likely increase the ability of the structures themselves to provide some degree of shoreline protection until such time that a beach does form landward of the breakwaters. Mr. Bryce could seek authorization to refloat and reposition the breakwaters further channelward to incrementally increase the beach width if those tombolos do begin to form, and he could incrementally move them back out. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all of the factors contained in Section 28.2-1403.10 and Section 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, we recommend approval of this project with a condition that a minimum of 360 cubic yards of sand be placed as beach nourishment landward of the proposed breakwater. If the beach nourishment requirement is unacceptable to the applicant, we would be willing to recommend approval of a modified proposal to position the breakwaters no more than 50 feet channelward of mean high water. In either case, we would also recommend a condition be required to plant the created dune and nourished area with appropriate beach and dune vegetation. And finally, we would recommend a royalty in the amount of 5 cents per square foot for any encroachment of beach nourishment over Tay and submerged lands. Sorry, that's a long evaluation, but it's kind of a complicated little case. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Mr. Nykirk, Mr. Robbins, and Mr. Tankard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chip, after your on-site visit, did you reach any sort of consensus about the advisability of harvesting the sand out of the creek?
Yes. All the reviewing agencies thought that would probably actually be a good idea in this case, although in most cases it wouldn't be something we would typically recommend. A good bit of this sand, there's always been some washover in here. A good bit of it, this groin cell used to be full, and when it got damaged, that sand dumped in here as well. It's really hadn't been there all that long, and kind of pulling it up and maybe jump-starting that dune back there, we thought might be a good idea.
Okay, and just want to follow up, the groin fields that are undamaged are obviously working, and the VIMS evaluation recommended that ahead of this proposed breakwater as a preferred alternative. Are you recommending moving forward with the breakwater as an opportunity to learn more about their effectiveness and oversee some benefit here?
What VIMS had said was the groin down here at this location was acceptable with beach nourishment. The groins have been working along here. This is very low, and our concern is that without any backshore elevation at all, I mean, there's no more than maybe a foot and a half above mean high water in there with no backshore elevation, that the groins themselves won't work. I mean, you need something to knock that wave energy down and you can run right through there.
Thank you.
Mr. Tiger?
Chip, do you think, when you look at this photo, it seems as though the groins have been working, but I think it's probably what's made for the erosion further down. There's no sand left. Do you think there will be any chance for natural accretion in this area once we put the next groins and the offshore breakwater?
There is a lot of sand moving along the shoreline. Our concern was that with the breakwaters positioned as far offshore as they're proposed right now, they might not capture that sand effectively. If they don't want to do the beach nourishment like we're recommending, and it would be difficult to do in this location because the getting access to the site is five or six properties updrift, which luckily Mr. Bryce also owns, so he can use that site. One thing we discussed was possibly using a feeder beach and putting a lot of the material right there, dumping it there, and allowing that sand to migrate down. Again, Mr. Price is trying to do this in a very cost-effective manner because he's kind of doing it to help save the creek and to save these islands and all. It's not like his property is threatened, or his improvements to his property are threatened in this case. But I do think naturally there would be some accretion of sand back there. How fast it would occur, I don't know. And with the breakwater sitting as far off as there are, I don't know that they would serve much use until they do form a tumble.
Mr. Fox?
Chip, do you have a graphic at all that would show the location of the proposed breakwaters?
On an aerial?
Yes.
No, but I can show you. They are basically aligned close to the end of this groin on this location.
So 50 feet would be...
50 feet would be...
Halfway in.
About halfway in.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schick?
That's where the other parallel...
Yes, the other breakwaters upstream were positioned at, I believe, 55 feet channel or mean high water, and they did grade that bank down and use all of that material as beach nourishment is behind it. That was a big slug of sand they put in there behind those.
And Mr. Schick? You feel that the boxes, if you brought them back 50 feet, would have enough mass to be able to withstand storm action?
I wouldn't put any guarantees on it. I would certainly prefer a regular riprap breakwater. We know those work. But this is a case where I think anything might help the situation.
And as far as bringing in the additional sand, you're talking about basically excavating it from behind and bringing it forward.
Well, they were going to do that to create the dune anyway under this project. We were also recommending that they bring in about 360 cubic yards from an upland source.
Like from putting it on a barge and then?
It would probably have to be trucked in, I would think. It's so shallow offshore, you'd have to wait on a very extreme tide to get in.
Is there any way across the adjacent land with a truck?
Let me back up one here. This one will show it. The access point is, I want to say it's like right in here on another parcel that Mr. Bryce owns, right in this area somewhere. We walked all the way down there to it. And it does kind of come down. They can access it with heavy trucks there. They could either move it with small bobcats, you know, down the beach, over the groins, which might be difficult, or they could also create a dump all of that sand right here and let it naturally move down, which I think would move fairly quickly in this case.
The applicant is proposing a groin to the right of the washover beach.
Yes, sir.
And we have no trouble with that.
No, sir.
Okay. Further questions? Mr. Tanker?
Maybe I missed something. I thought you said that he would excavate from behind, and that could, that's not
right. There are two things going on. He wants to excavate that material from behind and use it to create a dune up on the beach to kind of jumpstart a dune creation there. That's actually proposed. He's not proposing any to bring in any beach nourishment. At this point, our recommendation would be either bring in that beach nourishment, or if that's unacceptable, to move those breakwaters back in tighter to shore.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Chip. Mm-hmm. Is the applicant present or represented?
Yes, sir.
Raise your hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, shall be God. You state your name for the record, please.
Warren Davey, Vice President of the Senior Performance System. Looking at the staff's recommendations, I can go back to the property owner, and if I believe he would be okay with doing the feeder beach idea of beach nourishment. His problem was the excessive cost of having a truck and like 1 or 2 yards in a bucket, you know, over 1,000 feet down would be too expensive. But the idea of adding 360 yards as a feeder beach at the access point, I don't think you'd have a good problem with.
Okay.
So I would say that he would accept these stipulations.
Okay. Ms. Fox?
Why did you choose 90 feet off of the beach?
That's the Wisconsin Hardaway's guidelines of what you're expected width of your beach for your protection, and then the 1 to 1.65 ratio of the embayment to the gap of the breakwater. That's 90 feet off. So it's going from your guidelines. So what your expected final beach is.
Mr. Schick?
His guidelines also say that you should fill behind them. Isn't that true?
It doesn't specifically say that. It does say all breakwaters, obviously, they're there specifically just to hold the beach, and the beach gives you protection. So if you want your protection the day you're finished, obviously you have to add the sand. And that's why I pointed out to him that if he wanted to add the sand there that day, it's going to be, you know, more than the price of the whole project, right. Double or triple. So he said he would be fine, property owner, with waiting for it to naturally agree. Looking at his situation, all the groins are completely filled and overflowing, and there's, I walked out 300 or 400 yards, and it was still a sandy bottom, 2 or 3 feet deep. So there is obviously enough sand. There's sand going around the outside of the upper breakwaters. In addition to what was nourished, there's plenty of sand out there. So he was willing to wait, you know, 1 to 3 years for it to fill up. So.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone here in opposition to the project? The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a follow-up question for staff.
Yep.
I want to see if we can clarify this. If the tip of the sand is placed, as has just been discussed, as a feeder beach at the access point, would staff's recommendation still be that the breakwaters be located not more than 50 feet channel to allow for that accretion to occur?
We had anticipated in our recommendation that the sand would be placed, you know, in there immediately and behind them when they're at 90 feet. The feeder beach is I think that material will move fairly quickly down there since the groin cells are full, so I think we could stand by that. Mr. Hardaway, when I spoke with him, he came up with a 360 cubic yard figure and felt that would be a minimum beach that might form a tombolo in there behind. Provided it's conditioned on the placement of that 360 cubic yards at the same time the breakwaters are installed, I think we could allow them to stay out there at 90 feet.
Another question.
Mr. Fox?
Chip, we're talking about 360 cubic yards,
yes, sir,
of sand if you placed it right on the spot. Mm-hmm. But if you placed it on a feeder beach, not all of it's going to end up down there. Wouldn't you require a larger quantity of sand if you went to the feeder beach alternative?
More would be better, but it is important to note, and I don't know if it says as apparent in there, these groin cells are actually full right now. So as it moves down, those groins aren't going to capture any more sand. They're as full as they're going to get. So it's going to be a matter of how fast that sand transports down the beach, and you know that's you know. The right wave climate for a few days might move it in pretty good ways.
Mr. Schick?
I might have missed this, but so if he puts the sand there for a feeder system, upland or upstream feeder system, he could go 90 feet out.
I think so.
I just want to make sure I got that.
Ms. Fox?
I guess I'm troubled by going 90 feet out with the breakwater, particularly since we're using this breakwater that can be picked up and moved out. So I would be more comfortable with the breakwater in at 50, 60 feet and using the feeder beach alternative, but I would suggest we put more than 360 cubic yards in, maybe
420, I don't know, just picking a number.
More sand and closer into shore, I think you stand a better chance of creating a beach.
Can we hear from the agent?
Sure.
Mr. Beasy? You've been previously sworn, still on the road. Could you address those issues?
Well, it comes to a point of, as you mentioned, this is not to protect any upland structures. This is simply to allow them to continue access to hunt and other things they use the property. If you start throwing more and more sand on there, he's just going to have to back away from it. So it's a cost-benefit analysis on how much you can ask him to do to help his neighbors and, you know, his access to his property, or he's going to have to back away and say, it's not worth my time. And understanding that, obviously, we looked at upriver, there is a huge amount of sand out here, and it's probably going to fill in very quickly. So the fact that it won't be filling in for a year or two at the maximum is not really going to hurt anything that quickly. You know, obviously, we will get more wave damage possibly in a year or two in the properties.
Putting your breakwaters a little bit closer to shore is not going to have any cost differential.
No, adding more sand. Adding
more sand,
yes.
I think you're getting close to a compromise.
The reason why I put them out there is you have a 10-to-1 slope is your average beach elevation. So if you want a 4 or 5 foot high dune structure in the back, you need to go out approximately 50 feet of beach width. And then using Scott Hardaway's 1:1.65 ratio of beach embayment to breakwater gap, that's another 40 feet for a 65 foot long breakwater. So that's where I came up with the 90 feet off the existing low tide, I think my current low tide. So that's going basically by the engineering of the design. And it's basically 10 feet farther out than the existing groin, or what the existing groin was before the wood failed. So it's not really that far out if you look at it that way out, offshore, no farther than the existing groins.
Mr. Pox, would it give you some more comfort if we heard from Dr. Hirschner?
Sure.
Bims?
Sure.
Carl? Let's get it on the record. Should we do this right? Been previously sworn. Morning.
What would you like me to tell you this?
what we'd like you to do is to confirm from our scientific advisor perspective of what the gentleman said. That's what I would like you to comment on, if you would.
The calculations that Scott made for the 360 cubic yards assume that if that were all placed in the beach behind the breakwaters, the breakwaters then acting to deflect the wave energy would form the pond bullows in place. The risk of them being offshore with the sand being placed updrift is that the sand has to be caught by the downdrift groin to establish the beach, which can then be shaped by the breakwaters. So, in the interim, while there is no beach there for the groins or the breakwaters to effectively be acting on, they will be most effective if they are closer to the existing sand. So the answer to your question, as I understand it, is that you are most likely to get the most rapid action from the breakwaters by bringing them inshore if you're not going to put a lot more sand into the system.
Mr. Schick?
So then once 2 or 3 years come around and it fills up, then it would be appropriate for them to come back and ask to move them out to the original 90 so it can continue its process to have the proper slope.
Right. Assuming you got to the point where you kept all the sand that's currently there, plus the 360 cubic yards that you're anticipating, then the engineering design that is being discussed here with the distance offshore would be appropriate.
Mr. Fox?
I'm ready to make a motion.
I'm ready for you to make one.
I would move that we approve the project, but adjust the distance offshore of the breakwater to 60 feet instead of 90 feet, and that we allow the upstream supply of beach nourishment to be put upstream and drift down and in the quantity of 400 cubic yards.
Second the motion?
I'd like to second the motion, and I'd also like to see if we could add in the verbiage that we would also consider moving them out to the original 90 once the proper amount of sand is behind the existing breakwaters.
By virtue of staff evaluation? Yeah,
yes. Yes.
Okay. Motion made. Second. Further discussion? Mr. Robbins.
Just want to be clear that the other conditions that were identified by staff in their recommendation would also be included. That is that the created dune be appropriately vegetated, and that the if there's sand nourishment occurring as a feeder beach. I don't know. Is staff still recommending the royalty?
Mr. Watkinson? Jump right on that spot. Let's go. Step up to the plate.
I think the idea would be that if you put the feeder beach in on an area that's already filled where the groins are, that's going to not maintain itself. That if things work as they should, it would nourish the area behind the breakwaters. So there's going to be some area accumulating behind the breakwaters as a result of putting the nourishment up the drip. So it would seem that there's some royalty ought to be calculated in there, but it's hard to predict without putting sand there at the time the breakwater and what that encroachment is going to end up being. So I don't know how we would calculate that at this point.
Mr. Tankard?
Yeah, my thought with regard to royalty, it seems as though there is some public good being taking place here. Perhaps we can forego the royalty. That will mitigate the increase of the sand cost because we've increased the quantity, and that would be a compromise on our part as well.
Yeah, I don't normally like to give up money, but I tend to concur in that situation.
It's a compromise.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Fox,
I don't want to make this part of a motion, but I would hope that since this is somewhat experimental with these breakwaters, that Mr. Beasley would notify staff sometime in the future that either it has worked or it hadn't worked.
I think by virtue of the fact that Mr. Beasley ultimately wants to move those structures outward, that will be the vehicle for him to notify us as to what's going on.
Okay.
Understood?
Yes, sir.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, sir.